Commentary number 20 on the story Secret Teaching. This, to me, is an extremely valuable story that really takes some deeper consideration by somebody who's working within the field and can be helpful, useful for somebody who's learning, certainly, as that will give a little bit of an understanding of how a teacher, a real worker, works. I feel so strongly about this degree of importance and value that I'm also scanning this and will make it available as a text, and there is a link to it following this story that you can download, print out, and use for contemplation or meditation or just further consideration and reference, especially if you are working within the field or if you're attempting to guide or lead other people. I'll comment a little bit about this, but don't want to take away from some direct experience that any of you may have as a result of your own contemplation and attention to the particulars of the story. So I'll try to be brief, and I'll probably be fairly superficial. The question was asked to a Sufi master is, why do you give secret teachings in secret and only to the people who you want, that you desire, and that observers aren't allowed? He responds in several levels. The first is, the teachings like charity, it's to be given secretly for the reason the public display of charity is bad for the giver, for the receiver, and for the observer. And in general, from a functional standpoint, this is correct. However, there are other times when it can be very valuable to use as an example, setting an example for others and as an inspirer. So it really depends on the circumstances, and here the person is speaking within the realm of an answer to the particular question, and it might well have been phrased or translated correctly or incorrectly, but perhaps more inclusively it is, teaching is like charity, it is many times, or it is generally to be given secretly. Now, teaching also can be offered outwardly, can be opened up, can be closed, but to be most effective, it refers and specifically to the time, place, persons, conditions, the people that are existing at that particular time, and it needs to be conveyed within the realm of that. And this is what the teacher speaks of later on in this commentary, in this story, in his answer. He says, teaching is like a nutrition. Its effects are not visible at the time it's being given. We are planting seeds. Even that which seems direct, overt, the statement needs to take root, it needs to grow, it needs to feel, it needs to be accepted within oneself, a person has to transmute it, has to begin to live it. It takes a while, generally speaking, for all this to take place. Even within the Zen practices, the Zen work and the stories of koans and other teachings, which some incident takes place and suddenly the person is enlightened. Enlightenment can, in this form, in this manner, be spoken of, the person gets an inspiration or understanding or grows suddenly or suddenly gets a knowing. The perception changes, perspective changes. But this flash then needs to be assimilated, needs to be extended to all of the things in the individual's life, needs to be able to be applied, then it needs to be let go, and then grow on from there. It's not in and of itself the end-all and be-all of enlightenment and becoming. The teaching is the planting of the seeds. It's the inspiring. It's the giving of something that then grows. And sometimes, if it's practices that are given, then they may be given for both the immediate result, the immediate effect and action, which again will take some time to manifest, and also for the purpose of then conveying the information so that the persons or people can then use them, practice them, to fulfill what's needed there. You don't become a real good baker if you don't practice how to bake. And just one lesson or expression of how to bake a cake is not teaching how to become a baker. You have to learn from this, you have to assimilate it, you have to feel it, you have to practice it, you have to adjust for the temperatures, and so on and so forth. There are many different things, and so it is true with the conveyance of the teacher. Now he makes a statement about how observers change, the very presence of observers changes the circumstances and therefore the effect of the teaching. And this is something that really needs to be examined directly. You can take that to be true and correct, and it is. You can examine it on a lot of different levels, but if you have the opportunities to actually interject somebody within the presence of a teaching and transmission as an observer, you'll be able, and then pay attention to what's taking place, you'll be able to see how the effect changes. Changes on many different levels. Breath, feeling, sound, consciousness, awareness, attunement, as well as perhaps outwardly with questions or distractions or something of this nature. The introduction of another element which is not needed or beneficial, perhaps. The statement being that if the presence of an audience were to increase the beneficial effect, then I and everyone else would do it. And again, the reference is we use the tools that are needed in order to convey the work. And if something helps, then it helps, and we use it. If something doesn't help, we don't use it. Without going too much further into, or too much deeper into what has been said already, and what the story points toward, let me go on and say, finally, the listener, the inquirer, says, this isn't usually the way other outside teachings are carried on. And the response to the Sufi by the Sufi master is that, grant that ordinary teaching may indeed one day be carried out this way. When that takes place, we won't have any need to see any division between Sufi and other teaching. This gives a real good indication of what a person is doing and how they're working, and it also gives a very good indication of how or reasons behind introducing qualities, elements, practices, and attitudes, way approaches into this world. It isn't just for the sake of doing it. It certainly isn't for the sake of glorification of the person who is bringing it forward. And as far as direct work with the individuals, that's done for the preservation and transmission of the teaching, but also on a wider basis, work is done and conveyed so that it can be absorbed within the societies into the world and then taken on as part of the normal growth of the world. And this transmission, by the way, and you can explore this even more, is done very consciously, very directly, as well as very indirectly. It's a cooperative work from one body, one being, and it's taking place all over the world and through finer planes at one time, and it is done from the perspective of one teacher and one being. This is the end of this commentary.